23. We're going to be reading responsively verses 13 through 17. 17 is our text verse this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 responsively. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 3, and we will read responsively verses 13 through 17. I'll read, and then you read. Verse 17 is our text verse this morning. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have needed to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus then baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And let's read verse 17, our text verse together. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the preaching of your word. Now, Holy Spirit, we want you to work on hearts. I pray you'd settle hearts this morning. I pray, God, that you would just do thou a great work this morning. Fulfill what needs to be fulfilled, Lord. Please fall upon this preacher, upon his tongue. Help me to say exactly what you'd want said, Lord, this morning. Touch hearts. May we leave here closer to you than when we came. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This will be pegged eventually in just a moment. You'll see it will be pegged as a Father's Day message. But I do know and I believe very strongly if every single one of us opens our heart to the Word of God this morning, it can and will help you. But of course, this passage here deals with the baptism of Jesus. Jesus coming unto John the Baptist to be baptized, and John kind of surprised. Why would I, John, baptize Jesus, if you will? I need you to baptize me, he says here. Who am I to baptize you? And the reason, of course, Jesus got baptized was to fulfill all righteousness. And also, I think, of course, it's to fulfill all righteousness, the Bible says, but he was our example. The Bible teaches, and this is just a little bit of forethought before I get into the gist of my message. The Bible teaches after one gets saved, that they ought to get baptized. And of course, the mode of baptism is by immersion. The Bible says in 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Okay, that mode was immersion, if you will, which means to plunge or to dip. It was not pouring, it was not sprinkling. You'll see nowhere in the Bible that teaching or anything, but no other mode is taught in the Bible of baptism is taught in the Bible. And so the Bible says that, you know, if you're going to be obedient as a Christian, as a child of God, that first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. And that's just a little bit of forethought this morning. But now I'm going to turn the corner. We're going to zoom in on verse number 17, which is where my text and title will come from as I speak on the Heavenly Father, every dad's example. The Heavenly Father, every dad's example. I'll read verse 17 again, and we're going to see that as we go through some of these portions, statements here this morning. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. As soon as Christ's baptism was finished, God the Father speaks from heaven. Right after he comes up out of the water, shortly thereafter, the Bible says, And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, that be God the Father, the Heavenly Father, speaks from heaven. That exact moment, God chose to verbally associate himself with Jesus, his Son. The words spoken that day are very powerful words for we dads, and I think for all of us, for we parents, period. We're given an example of how a godly father deals with his children. I think, again, if we listen carefully, if we pay attention carefully, every single one of us, whether you're a father or not this morning, every single one of us can glean something from this truth that I am preaching this morning. I want us to see that God is not merely a father, okay? I want us to see that he is a father. He's not just someone up in space or out there, up in heaven or some being, if you will, but he's very personal God. Let me just say this. God the Father is a very personal God. And I hope this morning, I want to give everybody a chance before we land this message this morning, I hope that everybody knows him personally. And if you don't know him personally this morning, we'll give you that opportunity. You can know him personally. You can know God the Father very personally through his son, Jesus, this morning. So as I mentioned before, it will be thought of as a Father's Day message, but I believe everyone can glean something this morning. Let's pay attention as I preach on the Heavenly Father, every dad's example. Four things I want to show you. Number one, we see in verse 17, we see that God the Father is not ashamed of his son. Verse number 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." Let's focus in, first of all, on two words, "my son." That is a statement that tells me he's not, God is not ashamed of his son. God claims him, "This is my son." He's not ashamed of him. In other words, you could say God is looking down, "That's my boy." I mean, all of us dads, we get a little proud at times. That's okay, all right, of our children. You know, "That's my boy." When they go ahead and do something right, when you see them do something right, it makes you kind of feel good, doesn't it, Dad? You know, okay, for instance, as you maybe, if they were involved in sports of some sort, I've had my daughters and my son are both involved in sports, but when they make a good play and so forth, you're kind of on the sideline. Most of the time, if you're there, you're kind of on the sideline saying, he got that from me. You know, you're not ashamed of your children one bit. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? God the Father says, "That's my son. That's my boy." God claims him as his son. He's not ashamed of him. In fact, you know, God the Father's not ashamed of any of us this morning. You know, the Bible says, as a child of God, the Bible says in verse Hebrews 11:16, "But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." You know, I thank God. I got thinking about that verse a little bit as I was studying. You know, he's not ashamed of me this morning. I'm a child of God, and he's not ashamed of me. And by the way, he has a, you know, if I looked at my life, I'd say, boy, he has a whole lot of things that he could be ashamed of me about. Boy, that wicked sin that I committed before I was saved, you know, I was a filthy, rotten sinner. You know, he could say, "I'm ashamed of you." But you know what? Obviously, God made a way for us to be clean and be cleaned in his sight and so forth. But what I'm saying this morning, you know, God's not ashamed of his children. If you're saved this morning, he's not ashamed of you. And maybe you're not saved this morning. Let me tell you, don't you think that there's any sin in your life? Don't you think there's anything that is stepping in the way from God going ahead and cleaning up your act? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for all sin. He can go ahead and look at you justified, just as if you've never sinned this morning. Hey, you know what? He can look at you this morning and not be ashamed of you this morning. Hey, you know what? He's saying about Jesus, his son. Hey, he says, "My son, my son." He's not ashamed of his son. He's not ashamed of you this morning. You know what? When I got saved, I became a child of God. And I am so glad that God, according to Hebrews 11:16, he is not ashamed of me this morning. God is a prime example to we human parents, if you will. Our children ought to know that we're not ashamed of them. They ought to know it. Our children ought to know that we are proud, if you will, of their accomplishments. Proud in the right way, that is. You know, when they go ahead and get good grades, you ought to say, "Good job." You know, it's so easy when you go ahead and open up that report card. You're automatically thinking of the bad grade. Well, you know, A, C, D, and we focus it right in on that. Now, listen, I'm not for bad grades. I think if they went ahead and gave their best, you know, if they did their best, okay, and if a C is what they could do, and you know, if you know that they were working hard in their room studying, and you know, and if the C was all they could get, it would help them a whole lot if they said, "I know you tried, son. Good job." When they get a good grade, A's or C's, or I mean, if they work hard, you know what? You ought to tell them, "Good job." Praise them for it, if you will. Initiative taken in their duties. How often, you know what, when we see them not doing what they ought to do, maybe cleaning, you got chores for them. I know in our household, we have chores to do, and it's so easy sometimes, if they don't get it done right then, "Hey, you know, take out that trash, or clean up your room," and so forth, or whatever. But you know what, when you see them grow, and they take the initiative, and they do it without you asking, you know what, instead of focusing in on, "Hey, you know what, you didn't do that," why don't you say, "Hey, thank you, son or daughter, for taking the initiative and having the character to go clean up your room without me getting on you." You know what? Initiative. Boy, you ought to praise them for their accomplishments. And by the way, you know what? You stay consistent. You know, after a while, you won't have to go get so shook up about that duty that they're supposed to fulfill. You know, you stay on them, you teach them, and you tell them that after the trash gets so high, you know what? You know, a lot of kids just need to be shown what to do. You know, we'll go ahead and assume that they're supposed to know exactly what the duties are. You know, if you're going to give your child chores, okay, you know what? Even though to you it may be easy, but let me tell you something. When you were 15, 13, 12, 9, was it easy for you? Someone had to show you the proper way to go ahead and do that particular job. You know, and you ought to take time and show your kids, but when they go ahead and step up to the plate and they see something that needs to be done, well, you ought to praise them for it. Hey, whatever they accomplish, they ought to know that you're proud of them. They ought to know that you're not ashamed or embarrassed of them. You know, I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen, especially because of the competitive society we're in. And I'm for children playing sports. I think if you can get your children involved in sports, with balance, by the way, I think you need to have it balanced. I think that today we're so sports-oriented that it's just gone ahead and dominated Sundays. It's dominated everything like that. But I think sports is a good thing. Listen, if it's balanced, I think it teaches coordination. It teaches them character. It teaches them certain things. But the truth of the matter is when your child gets out there on the basketball court or volleyball court or whatever sport it may be, you know what, and maybe they make a play that's not quite, you know, it was really weird and it was just people kind of laughed. You know, you don't have to sit there on the side, ooh, that's not my son. No. You know, they don't need to see that. They don't need to know that. You know, that's still your son or your daughter, irregardless of what kind of play they made or what have you. They ought to know that you're not ashamed or embarrassed of them in any area. Often we focus on the bad points and never zoom in on the good points for our children. You know, if you take a moment and just sit back and think about all the good things that your children have done for you, you'd find out that really the bad points aren't all that many. You know what? You ought to zoom in on the good points. If you're not careful, our actions and words can cause them to feel like they failed you. Oh, you know, you're useless. Oh, you know, you could have done that better. You could have done this job better. You could have done that better. You know, the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, our actions and our words can cause them to feel like they have failed you. And by the way, you know, by the way, I have worked with young people long enough, moms and dads, that, you know, kids really do want to please their mom and dad. They really do. But you know what? We have a lot of responsibility, moms and dad, to teach our kids. We ought to be teaching them how to do certain things and do the jobs and so what they really do want to please their mom and dads. You know, several years ago, I came across this illustration. Several years ago in Louisiana, a motorist saw something hanging from a tree. When he stopped to investigate, he found that it was a body of a young teenage boy. There was no identification on the body. There was nothing but a note that said, in part, "Dear mom and dad, I'm sorry that I was an embarrassment to you." You know what, you say, I mean, I thought just how sad that is. Let me ask you a question. Does your child think that he or she's an embarrassment to you? I mean, because of maybe something they said or something they may have done or whatever the case may be, and that's not my, do they think that they are an embarrassment to you? You know, children need to know that mom and dad are proud of them. They usually live up to your estimate of their worth. In other words, if you think of them as small, you know what? They probably will become less than best or less than what they could be. But if you go ahead and you encourage them and say, you know what? You can go ahead and do this. You can go ahead and serve God. You can go ahead and preach. You know what? When I was a young man, I was called to be a preacher, and I thought, God, you got the wrong number. I said, you really got the, I told God that. But I knew in my heart God called me to be a preacher. I was a teenage boy. I remember telling my dad, I remember telling my preacher at that time, saying, you know what, God called me to be a preacher. I said, you know what, I looked at my preacher at that, I said, I can't do what you do. And you know what, the truth of the matter is, my preacher says, you know what, you're right, you can't. But with God, you can. You know what, I'm glad he just didn't stop and say, you can't. No, you know what, I remember them words, he says, but with God, that you can. You know, some of you say, well, you know, he might be right about that. No, whatever, don't say that. But the truth, I mean, listen to me, though. Listen to me. I didn't think I could. I said, God, you got the wrong number. I remember, though, I surrendered to his will for full-time service to be a preacher, and I didn't think I could do it, but I thank God that there was a leader in my life, and my dad said the same, and my dad was there. I didn't know what he was going to think either. You know, my dad, I was 16 years old, and my dad and I talked, and I was looking forward to taking over the family farm. That was my goal. I loved the farm. I loved milking the cows. I loved driving the tractors, throwing hay, maple syrup. We used to put up maple syrup, had our own sap house and so forth. I enjoyed every single part of that. And I remember when I went ahead and I surrendered, and I didn't know what my dad was going to go ahead and say. I thought, he's looking for me to take over the farm, and that's my boy, and so forth. And I remember sitting there with my preacher, and my dad said, "Well, Dad, God called me to preach." You know what? With tears in his eyes, he says, "Man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you." And can I say this? And some of you have noticed it too, but he spends a little time down here from time to time. And I know that when he sits in his little spot, wherever it is, I do see that he's proud of his son. And I'm not boasting this morning. Don't misunderstand me. Just like you're proud of your kids too when they do right. Hey, listen. You know what? Don't be ashamed or embarrassed of your kids. They need to know that you're proud of them. They usually live up to the estimate of their worth. They should cause us to take heed on how we treat them. Let them know that you're proud of them, just like God, the Heavenly Father, thought of his son. My son. My son. My son. You are mine. As a Christian, God says, "You are my child. You are my son." He is not ashamed of you. Number one, the father is not ashamed of his son. Number two, the father adores his son. Notice a word between "my son," that word "beloved." And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son." He doesn't just say "my son." He says, "My beloved son." Beloved, one that is dearly loved. Children, children can live without many things, but they cannot live without love. They can live without a whole lot of, they may think, and the truth of the matter is, you know how I can tell when a child's not loved? It is when they are wanting so many things from the world. They want this, they want that, they want, maybe little things as far as toys or different things like that. And every kid's want. But the truth of the matter is, kids can live without a whole lot of that. But when I see a child say, "Hey, I want this, I want this, I want this," it often tells me, just by experience, that I wonder how much they're hearing "I love you" in home. When they're so thinking, "I want all of these other things," sometimes I'll hear them say, "I want that, mom and dad." Maybe they see, some of these children that come in off the buses, they see you moms and dads coming in with your sons and daughters, your arms around them, giving them hugs and so forth. And how often I've seen this, "I wish I had a mama and daddy like that." That speaks volumes to me. That says they don't hear the three magical words, so to speak, "I love you." Children can live without a lot of things, but they cannot live without love. I think the greatest gift a parent can give to his child, other than the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, is that they are loved unconditionally. No matter what they've done, no matter how they act from time to time and so forth, they need to know that mama and daddy loves them unconditionally. Remember, God, our Heavenly Father, loves you unconditionally. You were brought from the mire of sin and wickedness, but he pulled you out. He set your feet upon a rock. Psalm 40 says, "He so loved the world," the Bible says in John 3:16, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Hey, God loved you unconditionally. He just didn't go ahead and say, "Well, who am I going to save and who am I going to love?" No, he loves the world, the whole world, unconditionally. He demonstrated his love to you by sending his only son. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." He demonstrated his love to you by sending his only son. One of the best ways to demonstrate godliness to your children is you love them unconditionally. Okay, maybe they did get a bad grade, but you still go ahead and love them and you encourage them, okay? If you can do better, son, if you can do better, daughter, and you go ahead and do it. You encourage them. You love them unconditionally. Maybe they may fail you and disappoint you once in a while. That doesn't mean you go ahead and you cast them into outer darkness and say, forget. No, that's it. Remember the prodigal son? What did Daddy do? You know, a very familiar story, but Luke chapter 11, you can read it later, but what did Dad do? You know, Dad went ahead and he loved his, you know, the son, the younger, came, want my portion of inheritance. He went out and squandered his inheritance and so forth. At the end of the day, he was living with pigs and so forth, and he realized what, he came to himself, the Bible says, and he realized, what did I do? And you know what, Daddy, I can see Daddy each and every day. He might have ran down at the end of his driveway looking for his son, wanting his son to come home, and no sign of his son. And I could maybe see him maybe two or three times a day. I don't know, every day going down, is my son coming home? He kept him, and then one day he's there, you know, and he sees a little shadow down there at the end, and he sees his son as he gets closer, all dirty, and all his clothes all torn, his hair all matted, but I could just see his son just coming from the pig house, living like the pigs, living with the swine, the Bible says, feeding the swine. But he comes, what does Daddy do? No, you're not accepted in my home anymore. But he fell upon his neck and he kissed him. He says, go get the fatted calf. You know what? He loved his son. He still adored his son. Yeah, you know what? His son did disappoint him. His son could have had all the perks and Benny's had he just waited a little while. But you know what? He still said, you're my son. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not mad at you. I adore you, and you're still welcome in my home. And you know what? That's what God does with you. And that prodigal son, he loved that son, that dad, he loved that prodigal son unconditionally, and God loves you unconditionally. You want to demonstrate godliness to your child, you go ahead and you love them unconditionally, despite what they've been through, despite whether they've disappointed you. We need to love them like God the Father loves us. How much does God the Father loves us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go ahead and see what the Bible says right here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, I preached on this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to read a couple verses. How much does God the Father love you? The truth is, he loves unconditionally, but how much? How much? Look right here. For I am persuaded, chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, the Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what? You know what? That says a whole lot. There's not anything. You know what? That's a whole list of things. No, not death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, anything that happens now, or things that may happen in the future, nor height, nor depth, any creature. Not anything can separate you from the love of God. It doesn't matter. You may be saved this morning, and you may have gone ahead and blown it last night. You might have ruined things in your life. Even as a saved Christian, you might have been backslidden. You might be backslidden this morning, but guess what? God the Father still loves you. You might be as far from God this point. You know by time that you've been saved. You ask Christ to come into your heart. And you know what? You may be backslidden. You're still a child of God. If you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, nobody, 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 nothing. And the devil can't even take you out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You are saved. And you know what? Jesus, God says, come home. Come home. Come home. You know why? Because he loves you unconditionally. Boy, that's how we ought to love our child. Nothing, I say nothing, should ever be allowed to divide our love for our children. I hear stories often. I've worked with parents and families throughout the years, of parents and children. They're on the outs. They're always fighting and fussing and bickering, and there's division. You know, the child got old enough, and they're on their own way. Parents did it this way. They haven't talked in years. That's never right. And by the way, that's a mockery according to the Word of God. That's a mockery of what God wants and intends for a family and a home to be. You know, I mentioned about the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son left the door open. The prodigal father, rather, left the door open. Hey, genuine love is not afraid to express itself. You know, tell your children, I love you. And not just say it, have actions that prove your love. You know, they ought to tell, obviously, you know, and we ought to teach our children. As a Sunday school teacher, boy, as I was teaching young people through the years, I teach them, you know what? You know, one of the greatest acts of your love from your mom and daddy is they get up and they cook you breakfast and they go off to work every day. Now, by the way, mom and dad, that does not go ahead and mean that we do not tell them, I love you. But you know what? Some actions ought to say, you know what? I know from a child, a teenager, I know my mom and daddy love me because they go to work and they supply. They put the coat on my back. They gave me a bed to sleep in. They gave me a roof over my head. And children, you ought to thank God for that love expressed that way. Let me just stop and say this, young people. If you have a mom and daddy, and you've got some clothes on your back, most likely, the clothes on your back this morning was not purchased from you, most likely. Some cases, maybe. But most of the time, the clothes on your back was not purchased by you, it was supplied by your mom and dad. Let me say this, children, teenagers, the food that you ate this morning, most likely you didn't go shopping to Shaw's last week and purchase that food. Most likely. Maybe you did. I don't know every situation. But most likely it was bought by mom and daddy. Bought by the money that they work 40 hours a week or maybe even more to go ahead and provide to give you that them clothes, to give you that food for your belly. Did you buy your bed? I'm talking about teenagers, right? I'm talking to young people right now. Did you buy your bed? Most likely, it was provided by mom and dad. And, you know, I hear this once in a while, and again, this is not excuse, moms and dads, for us not to say to our children verbally, I love you. But let me just stop and say this for just a moment. Maybe, teenager, maybe, child, you do not hear your mom and daddy say it as often as they should. But you know what? They express it in a lot of different ways. By the food, by different things. And it might be good for you, child, every so often to go to your mom and dad and say, thank you for loving me and providing for me. You know what? Just like you want to hear they're proud of your accomplishments. Just like you want to hear that they're excited about your future and how you're behaving and so forth, you know what? They want to hear you say thank you. You know, as a youth pastor many years, you know, I worked with teenagers. I worked with young people, of course, and you know that. And I used to tell my teenagers often, I said, you know, you can give me little notes saying thank you, Pastor Weeks, for this and that. You can often, sometimes they'd give me a little card with Dunkin' Donuts gift card in there because they knew I loved Dunkin' Donuts. Sometimes some of my teenagers would come in and drop a Dunkin' Donuts cup of coffee in my office for me. They'd do different things, but you know what? I don't mind all of that, but you know one of the greatest, you know one of the greatest things that you can say to me whenever I do something for you? Thank you. Just tell me thank you. You see, I didn't need a whole lot. I thanked them. I thank you for all the little dollar bills, different things, candy bars and so forth. But you know what? I loved it. Every time after a youth activity, they'd walk right by me. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. And you know what? That meant a whole lot to me. I was fine with it. You know, if I, as a leader and a youth pastor, could be happy with that, boy, I think mom and dad would be happy if you went ahead, child, said, thank you for all that you do for me. Thank you. Hey, by the way, children, today, did you tell Daddy Happy Father's Day? I hope you did. You know, genuine love is not afraid to express itself. Yes, moms and dads, we need to tell them, I love you. You know, when you end a phone call with them, say, I love you. Before they leave for school or go somewhere, say, I love you. Express it by being there at the ball games in their interest. You know how often my wife and I, we'd go to the ball games and so forth. And you know, the first thing they saw, and the first, they looked around. They wanted to see if mom and dad was in the bleacher seats. You know, they wanted to see that. Hey, listen, you be there for them. You show up in your place and be there for certain school events. And so you be included in their life. You know, a child may just want to please you and obey you if you just let them know often how much you love them and how much you're proud of them. Don't just assume that they think that you love them. Hey, question, do your actions and your words towards your children say, I love you? Think about that. They need to hear often and daily. Tell them you care. Help them when they need help. Stop doing what you feel is so important and listen to them. Don't forget that you have only, you only have a little while with your kids. Maybe your kids are all grown and so forth. And I hope that every single one of you have a great relationship, that you have family reunions, and maybe some of them kids that are married off are going to be at your house for a picnic on Father's Day or whatever the case may be. But you know, if you have children in your home, boy, this is a time to make some precious memories. This is the time to make precious memories. You know what? It's too late later on. You may think, well, I got my things to do right now. I work. You know, once in a while, we just have to slow down a little bit, because time does fly. Before you know it, your kids grow up, and they'll scratch your head, where was Dad? Where was Mom? And you say, that could never happen. It does happen. You tell them, I love you. You say, well, you know, Pastor, listen, that's not very manly to do that. Yes, it is. You know, you got to break down that pride and that whatever it is, that ego, and say, you know, son, daughter, I love you. And don't be afraid to go to your son as the prodigal father did and give him a hug. I saw my dad the other day and I gave him a hug when I left. I gave him a hug. I said, Dad, I love you. Don't wait until it's too late to tell him. You don't know what a day may bring forth. A few years ago, in my youth group, I had a fine young man by the name of Ryan. Some know this story. Fine young man. He loved the church. He loved his bus route. He loved the youth conference trip. The boy would often come by my office and just want to just shoot the breeze, just talk for a while. He was sitting there in my office and shake my hand. He had that smile. He said, you know, just a week before the tragedy happened, he came to me. He says, Brother Sean, all my teenagers called me Brother Sean. He says, Brother Sean, I want to be just like you. So what do you mean? I want to be a youth pastor. Well, thank you, Ryan. I said, you're going to make a mighty fine good one. We talked a little while. About a week later, he fell asleep at the wheel in his car and he was killed. He went to heaven. And I thank God, though, however, their family was close, and I know that often love was displayed in that home. But let me tell you something, how often I hear the other stories of young people not ever hearing it in the home. They don't see love expressed. They don't hear it. You know, don't wait until it may be too late to make memories. Don't wait till it may be too late for you to tell your son and your daughter, I love you. Don't wait until it's maybe too late. You just never know. You know, life is but a vapor, the Bible says. You just don't know. But you ought to cherish the time that you have. Should never be too stuffy and emotional and unemotional to display love to your child. Came across this story, a woman in adulthood recalls this incident growing up. She writes, I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old having a big writing tablet on which I could do block printing. One day I took a sheet of tablet paper, folded it in half, and wrote, I love you on the inside. I put my dad's name on the outside, covered the sheet with hearts, set it on the dresser. I made a Valentine for him, and it wasn't even Valentine's Day. Eagerly, I anticipated what I thought would be an enthusiastic response, but it never came. The next afternoon, I discovered the Valentine in the wastebasket. This has to be some mistake, she thought. He must not have seen it. I lifted the Valentine from the trash and carefully stood it up in the center of his dresser. My heart was pounding, and the day when I checked the wastebasket, it was there again. Only this time, it was crumpled with some other papers. He must not have liked it, I thought. Or maybe he didn't see it. I smoothed out the creases the very best I could and placed the Valentine on his dresser once again. I made sure that it was very conspicuous so that this time he would see it. And the next day, Dad called me to him. I remember feeling very shy. And he said, will you quit putting that note on my dresser? He demanded, I already know that you love me. When I became a Christian, she writes, I thought about finding that Valentine in the trash and how hurt and angry I had felt. Why had my dad reached out to me? Let me just stop and say this before I finish the story. You know, does your child, maybe they've expressed their love to you in some way, but you've not given it back. Have they reached out to you, but you've not reached back? They try to say, I love you, but you've not responded back? Have they given you a little something, but you've not responded back? Then she finishes the story. Then I thought about Jesus. Jesus had put a Valentine on my dresser, had my name on the outside, and on the inside it said, I love you. The lettering was not with pencil, but it was written with blood. And it cost Jesus his life to send me his Valentine, and I'm glad that I didn't crumple it and throw it away. You know, God, it doesn't matter who we are this morning. You may be saved or you may be lost. And if you're saved, God reached out to you and you took it. And let me tell you something, but if you don't know Jesus as Savior, God still is reaching out to you as well. And all he wants you to do is accept his Valentine that's written in blood. Jesus shed blood on that cross. And you know, you can have eternal life through his son. You know, let me just, you may think, well, I'm going to church. That's going to get me to, no. Well, I've given in the offering. That's going to get me to heaven. No. I've done good deeds. That's going to get me. No. You've got it all wrong. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there's not a thing. I can't work hard enough to get me to heaven. All the work was done on that cross at Calvary. It is finished through Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, my friend. God has reached out to you. He accepts you. He's not ashamed of you. It doesn't matter where you were, who you are this morning. You say, well, preacher, God doesn't love me. He can't accept me. Oh, yes, he does. He so loved the world, the whole world. He sent his only son, Jesus. And all you have to do is accept that love through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, hey, God is not ashamed of the son. He's not ashamed of you. He adores the son. And next, the father accepts the son. Verse number 17 again, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He says next, I am well pleased, meaning I approve of you, my son. In another sense, I'm proud of you. You please me. You have obeyed me. You know, let's just say this. Let's understand from a human perspective in our world today, we need to understand our children are not perfect. And by the way, moms and dads, we aren't either. They may not, your children may not turn exactly out the way you'd like them to turn out. They will make mistakes. They may get into trouble. They may not be as successful as you think they ought to be. And I find the problem in a lot of families today is simply we let them know verbally that we're not proud of them. They make a mistake, so we say, yeah, you know what? You're useless. You're never going to be a success. That's the worst thing you can tell your child. By the way, they live up to what you think they're going to be worth. And you go ahead and you degrade them. You tell them you're useless, you're nothing, you can't do anything right, you can't do this, you can't do that. What in the world? You've already told them, I'm useless. And I could go into a whole lot of other, it's no wonder. And just say this, it's no wonder why the teen suicide rate is higher than it ever has been today. And let me just stop and say this. A lot of it stems from the home. They need to know. Boy, love expressed is so important in your home. Daddy, you ought to tell your children that you love them. Mama, you ought to tell your children that you love them. You know, but they hear, oh, we're not proud of you. You're useless. They didn't do too well, so we tell them that. Oh, you could have done a little bit better. We tell others. We go, well, you know, my son, my daughter, they didn't turn out to be much. You go to your friends, they didn't turn out very well. They're not very successful. They didn't listen to me. And all the while, they go ahead and they have some emotional struggles. You cause division between them. And maybe, by the way, they should have listened and took heed to your teaching and warning and rules and so forth, but they did not. So what we do is we use our tongue to degrade them, making matters worse. And by the way, you know, as they grow up, that diminishes any relationship with them, with your future grandchildren, with potential memories that you could have simply because we often don't want to think and we want to degrade them because they made a mistake. Hey, you know what? We ought to be telling them we love them and we're proud of them. You know, I thank God that God the Father, I thank God that when I did not live up to my Heavenly Father's expectations, he didn't throw me away and write me off. But how often, you know what? He didn't do that this morning. God didn't do that to us. And the truth of the matter is, how often, from a human perspective, that we kind of go ahead and do that to our own children? That's not what God expected for our family to be. You know, God is an example of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The prodigal son's dad accepted his son back. Again, not with all the perks and benefits, if you will, but he could have had all, everything had he stayed. But that prodigal dad said, I love you, and I'm going to go ahead and kill the fatted calf for you, and I'm not going to write you off. We look at our children once they've grown, and we want them, they've grown in metal, and do not accept them for what they may be doing. Maybe the lifestyle is wrong, but you still ought to love them unconditionally. You know, and by the way, parent, let me have this mic, the red one. If you show your children that you love them unconditionally, even though they may have gone off a little bit, they didn't go ahead and become what you became, but you still love them, you still stay in contact with them, I love you. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a day, most likely, that they're going to come back and need you. And if they know that your door is still open and that you love them conditionally, you know what? It might be just what they need. When they figure out that they should have maybe listened to the biblical teaching that you taught them and the different things, they maybe should have listened, but they came to themselves later on, knowing they could come back to daddy and mama. And they go ahead and they see that, and it might be just what they need to go ahead and make things right between you and them. Boy, we ought not be pushing our children away. We ought to love them unconditionally. That's the theme of the message this morning. But you see, your love is conditional. It'll make matters worse. If you make a way for them to come back, it may be just what they need to help them get back on track. You know, we should never hold our children's past before their eyes. Neither should we have unrealistic expectations for them. We ought to love them. We ought to accept them as they are, just as God accepts us. In contrast, though, to God, we are often half-hearted in our acceptance of people by either directly or indirectly reminding them of their past. Remember when? You know, God doesn't do that with you. You know, God, as I mentioned last week, you're justified in the sight of God. He sees your sin no longer because of the blood. Okay, you are justified by God this morning. He doesn't see that, but we often will hold their past. Say, remember when? You know, you say you forget, you forgave, but you don't forget. And that makes them feel that they don't quite belong. You know, I was, another illustration here this morning. A minister was visiting a rich man who had adopted a 12-year-old boy. He had taken in from the streets. While the two men were talking, the boy, now 15 years old, came into the room. After a casual meeting, the father went to the closet, pulled out a pair of tattered old shoes, and said, Fred was wearing these when I found them. The minister looked over at the teenage boy, and the teenage boy was very embarrassed and deeply hurt. He had his head down. But the father went on. He says, I think it's good for him to be reminded every once in a while of his condition when I took him in. Silently, that pastor, that preacher, pray, thank you, Lord, for accepting me fully without dragging out my old pair of shoes. And I thank God. Boy, I thank God that God the Father accepted me fully without coming to me and saying, well, remember when, and dragging out my old sins. I thank God for that. You know, the Father accepts his son. I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased, the Bible says. You know, I'll just say something to the children for a second. You know, we want our moms and dads to accept you, and they ought to, and they will. They shouldn't be ashamed of you. But if you're going to live like the devil in the world, you should not expect your godly mom and daddy who have taught you and trained you to go ahead and put a stamp of approval on it. You shouldn't do that. If you're going to go ahead and dress like the world, don't expect your parents to be excited about that lifestyle and say, I approve of that. You're going to go ahead and listen to the music of the world and do what you want to do and go totally different than how mom and dad taught you from the Word of God. Don't expect them to go ahead and put a stamp of approval on it. You know, by the way, God does not go ahead and put his stamp of approval when we go ahead and backslide. He doesn't do it. God the Father doesn't do it. And don't you expect your mom and daddy to do it when you go ahead and you mess up. It's unfair to expect it, and a godly parent cannot give it. You know, and you know, you want they will love you, but sometimes there has to be tough love. Sometimes when you go ahead and blow it, you know, you're going to have rules, and if you break the rules, there's going to be a discipline, action, and you ought to expect that. Don't you expect your mom and daddy to say, well, you know what, don't do it again, son, don't do it again, daughter. No, there is action that needs to be taken. You know, parents, you do your child no favors when you offer blanket approval for their sinful ways. Perhaps your disapproval is just a wake-up call that they need. Hey, you know what? The Father is not ashamed. The Father adores the Son. The Father accepts the Son. And number four, we see the Father apprentices the Son. Turn to John chapter 15, and I'll be landing with this thought here just a couple minutes. John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. I'm going to move right along. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father to do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus is telling those who are listening that since the Father loves him, the Father is including the Son, Jesus, if you will, in his work, and allows him to be part of his life. Now follow the teaching here. We see the Father apprenticing the Son here. Jesus is saying that God, the Father, is working. He loves the Son and shows him what he's doing. When he shows Jesus the Son his work, it is his invitation for the Son to join him in what he is doing in that activity, kind of showing him the Father's business, if you will. That still works today as a child of God. You know what? As a child of God, God wants us to be busy. He has a work for us to do. We ought to be set ourselves forth to go ahead and do that work. He shows us through the Word of God what needs to be done. He apprentices us. He teaches us. Now we must do what we have been taught. And the same goes as a parent. You know, we need to teach our children. Don't expect them to know everything, but you ought to teach your children how to work. You ought to teach your children how to pay their bills. You ought to teach them how to handle money. Course. You ought to teach them. Certain things. Another illustration. I've had a lot of illustrations, but they just so fit with the message this morning. Someone by the name of Rusty Stevens of the Navigators tells a story about a day he was frantically pushing the lawnmower around the yard, trying to get finished before supper. His six-year-old son came up and without even asking grabbed the mower handle. He wanted to help, so Stevens quit pushing and the mower soon came to a stop. Laughing to himself at the boy's futile attempt to push it by himself, Stevens wanted to say, hey kid, get out of the way, but instead he offered, here son, I'll help you. Together they started pushing, and the dad had to bend over and walk spread-legged to keep from bumping into his son. The grass got cut, but a whole lot less efficiently than before because the boy was helping. And suddenly it dawned onto this man, this author of this particular illustration, dawned on him, this is a way my Heavenly Father allows me to help him build his kingdom. He thought, I pictured my Heavenly Father at work seeking, saving, transforming the lost, and there I was with my weak hands helping. And God could do the work himself and a lot more efficiently, but he condescends to allowing us to work with him. Well, what a privilege it is to serve God. You know, God could do a whole lot better pastoring this church than I can. But you know what? He allows us to go ahead and help out. God can go ahead and do a whole lot better soul winning. He can go ahead and do a whole lot better running different things and so forth. But you know what? He pushes himself out of the way, so to speak, and he's taught us through his word what needs to be done. And what a pleasure it is to serve God. You know, this illustration teaches us that a godly father needs to take time and include his son and daughter in his life. You know, that same illustration brought me to mind when I was teaching my son how to mow the lawn. We had a push mower, and he so wanted to help, and he'd get out there, and I did the same thing. You know what? I was teaching. You know what? Yeah, I could have got the lawn done a whole lot sooner, but I was teaching him how to work. Growing up on the farm, I had a lot of opportunities and so forth, and I learned how to drive. I remember when I first learned how to drive, I was a young man. By today's standards, they would think it was weird, but it's... Well, anyways, I was a young man. I was very young. I learned how to drive a tractor by myself by age 8. I was out in the field. I wasn't on the road. It was okay. My dad taught me. He taught me well. But you know what? 5, 6, 7, I was sitting there on his lap, you know, out in the field. He'd say, let me show you how to drive. He'd put my hands on the steering wheel, and he'd have his hands there over my hands. He was teaching me how to drive. Let me just stop and say this. You know, most of the precious memories that I have of my dad, because of the kind of man he was, a worker. But most of the precious memories I have with my dad was working. It was working. Oh, we had other things, vacations and different things like that. But a lot of the precious memories I had with my dad was working in the hayfield and different things like that. Hey, you know what? We need to take time and include our children in our life. Teach them how to work. Our time with our children is so important. The time you spend teaching your children to work and the things, you're making precious times and making precious memories. Fishing together makes memories. Family devotions are precious memories. I'm thinking of a young man right now who'll be here in a few weeks, Cliff and Sarah. He told me this one day, and it just stayed in my mind forever. He says, you know, Sean, some of the most precious memories I had as a kid growing up is having family devotions. Having Bible time with my family. Family time, making precious memories. Vacations, camping. Our time with our children is so needed. It's so very important. It is so essential. A young man was to be sentenced to the penitentiary for committing forgery. The judge had known him from childhood, for he was well acquainted with his father, a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law and Trusts. Do you remember your father? Asked the magistrate. I remember him well, Your Honor, came the reply. Then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "Are you about to be, as you are about to be sentenced, and as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" There was a pause. Then the judge received an answer he had not expected. "I remember, sir, when I went for him for advice, he looked up at me from his book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy, I'm busy.' When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away, saying, 'Run along, son, this book must be finished.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend." And the magistrate muttered to himself, "Alas, finished the book, but lost the boy." You know, your time, Dad, is so important to that child. Time spent with our children is never wasted. Charles Adams, the son of President John Adams, wrote in his diary one day, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." The boy, however, had a different perspective. The entry in his diary for that date reads, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful time of my life." Time is so very important. I thank God that my dad has taken time for me to work, showed me how to work, and showed me so many different things, and I thank God for the memories. You know, there's so many more examples, but I gave you 4 this morning of our Heavenly Father. I know the truth is none of us can match the love that God has for us, but we must love our children unconditionally as God loved us. I do believe that all of us could perhaps do a better job. I got analyzing myself a little bit. I know I could do a better job. I know I can be a better dad. You know, a recent survey said that a five-year-olds found that they would rather give up their father than their TV. That's sad. Did you know that more collect calls are made on Father's Day than any other day of the year? A minister, another illustration as I close, a chaplain worked in a men's prison, was asked by one of the inmates if he would buy him a Mother's Day card to send to his mom. He agreed. Word traveled fast. Soon hundreds of inmates were asking for cards. Resourcefully, that chaplain contacted a greeting card manufacturer who obliged with crates of Mother's Day cards, and all of them were passed out. Soon afterwards, he got thinking about it. He realized that Father's Day was approaching. And thinking ahead, he again called the card manufacturer, who responded quickly with crates of Father's Day cards. Years later, he still had every one of those cards. Not one prisoner requested a card for his father. Which clearly tells me that men in prison lack fathers. That's what this chaplain wrote. You listened to this message this morning, you saw the demonstration of God upon his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And as a child of God, he says the same to you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But maybe from an earthly perspective, as an earthly parent's perspective, you are in this room and say, you know what, there's room for improvement in my relationship with my children. Maybe you're a child. I said this message really is for maybe you're a teenager here this morning. Maybe there's room for improvement with your relationship with your parent. Maybe mom and dad, there's more prayer that you could go ahead and give towards your children. Remember a great man of God that I knew, Dr. Cowling, every night after the children went to bed, he knelt outside. He'd talk about it. The kids would fall asleep. He knelt outside their prayer for their children's door, each children's door, for a period of time in prayer, and just said, Lord, place a hedge about them. Begging God for them to be clean and pure and to desire God's will. And it may be why his children are doing well today. I don't know, but I am sure that it helped. Maybe it could be, mom, dad, it might be that you might need to spend more time in prayer for your children. It might be that you need to spend more time, period, with your children. Maybe you're here today, you're saved, but your child is not. Mom, dad, why don't you take the opportunity and get the gospel to your child? Maybe you're not saved, but let me just say this. God extends your hand to you, and he says, I'm not ashamed of you. I accept you. I adore you. And he says, all you have to do is come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why don't you just come to him if you're not saved this morning? Good parenting will begin at salvation. You know, we got to understand, your children need our time. They need your time. They need, and I'm proud of you every so often. They need, I love you. They need a hug and a kiss upon the neck. They need you, mama and daddy. And dad, they desperately need you. Don't be ashamed of your children. Adore your children. Call them beloved. Accept them and teach them. Be an apprentice to them. Kids, it's Dad's Day. Have you wished him happy Father's Day? If you haven't, boy, maybe he's distant, in a distant state. Call him up and say, Dad, happy Father's Day. Honey, or the honey of the home, the wife, it's Father's Day. Go up to him today and give him a big hug and say, thank you, happy Father's Day. Thank you for being a dad to my children. You know, your dad won't be around forever. My dad just recently realized that. Last night, his daddy went to heaven to be with the Lord. He called me about 8 o'clock last night and said, Grandpa's gone to heaven. Right before Father's Day. Listen to me. We're not guaranteed another day. And I'm not trying to be morbid here. Life is but a vapor. The Bible teaches that. But maybe today, you just need to realize how precious your dad is. Oh, but dad, you don't understand, preacher. He did, forget it. Doesn't matter what he did. It doesn't matter one bit what he did. You know, maybe you did some things too. Why don't you just go ahead and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Why don't you take the high road, Dad? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love you. Happy Father's Day. And maybe some memories from, there weren't so many precious memories back along. But why don't you today, from this day forward, as I'm going to make memories with my daddy who's alive, happy Father's Day. Your preacher says to you again this morning, Dads, Happy Father's Day. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We do thank you for this message. We thank you for this day. We thank you for what it means, Happy Father's Day. We thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you for my dad. I asked to be close to him this morning. It was a difficult period for him in many, many ways. Lord, I ask you to be with all the dads represented in this room. Maybe there's some baggage, maybe there's some apologies, maybe there's whatever needs to be taken care of, but I pray, God, it be taken care of and that precious memories may be formed from here on out. I pray, dear God, that we'd get back as moms and dads to telling our kids we love you. We are proud of you. I'm glad that you're my son, and thank you for that you're my daughter. I want to help you. I pray that we'll go ahead and push our life and our things out of the way so that we spend adequate time with our kids and make precious memories. I pray, Lord, that maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. We know, God the Father, you're up there. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. You demonstrated so strongly to us. I pray, dear God, because of that, you tell us, you show us by that act of love that you're not ashamed of us, that you want to give us a way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that someone here today, they don't know you as personal Savior, that they'll go ahead and settle that today. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You know for sure if you're to die today, you'd go to heaven. Maybe here, though, you say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe there's some issues with your dad. I don't know what it is, but our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Preacher, that God spoke to me, would you please pray for me? That's me. Maybe there's something, there's some issue, something. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Several hands. Anybody else? God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I hope that later on you'll do business with whatever needs to be dealt business with. Now, maybe here today you say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. You taught this morning from the Word of God. God's not ashamed of me. He sent his only Son, Jesus, to die for me, and today I want to be saved. You say, Preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Please, I won't call you by name. I won't embarrass you, but that's me. Would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask you to bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes